Okay, welcome everybody to yet another fabulous interview. Today, I am so honored to have John Braddock with us. I'm going to read you this bio because he's quite an accomplished fellow, and you're all very, very lucky to be listening to his interview. So John is an entrepreneur, author, speaker, and a 30-year veteran in the financial services industry. He is the founder and CEO of My Life and Wishes, an education and digital planning platform with a mission to help at least a million families become thoughtfully prepared for the inevitable, their own death. John is a regular contributor to Success.com, Inc.com, and Business Insider. He also has appeared on MSNBC's Your Business. He's the author of 4 books. The most recent release is called Click Here When I Die, and it's an Amazon bestseller. So welcome, John.
Thank you very much, Tina.
Really excited to have you. And so the name of this talk is Don't Leave an Effing Mess When You Depart. Love that title.
Thank you. You know, I thought about all kinds of different titles, but that's one that really fits in.
It sort of speaks to everybody. I think everybody knows what that means. So I actually just want to ask you, so I do want to ask one question before I get into a few questions that I have for you, and that is, you and your beautiful wife have this amazing video on your website, and everybody, the website is My Life and Wishes, and spelled out, mylifeandwishes.com. Can you just give us a little backstory about that personal experience you and your wife had with her dad?
Absolutely. You know, as you mentioned, I've been in the financial services world, as has Michelle, my wife, for the last 30 plus years. I would put the plus in there because 30 is plenty long enough. And, you know, we dealt with life insurance and financial matters and all kinds of things for years. And so we knew something about death and planning for it, or at least we thought. And when her father passed away, it really opened up our eyes to all the things that are out there that people don't really think about or think about and never talk about. So Ted, my father-in-law, was a very private man, kept a lot of things to himself, as so many do.
Right.
In fact, so much so that my mother-in-law, they're married for 63 years.
Wow.
She hadn't written a check, paid a bill, or made any decisions relative to finance or financial things in 63 years.
That's really common with that generation, right?
Very common. Very common. You know, you don't talk about money, you don't talk about politics, and you don't talk about religion. Right? And one other thing, you don't talk about death. And, you know, it was interesting because what happened was, and I'm sure many of the, listeners and viewers of your podcast have experienced this type of a situation where, you know, a loved one goes and then all of a sudden, within a matter of hours, you're bombarded with questions. You know, what funeral home should they go to? Geez, we don't know. There's several in town. And things move from there. Within 24 hours, you're in a funeral home. You have to prepare an obituary. You have to make decisions. Is it a religious ceremony or a memorial service?
Mm-hmm.
Heck, do they want to be buried or cremated?
Right.
And these things, you know, unfortunately, we knew some of these things, Ted, but what we didn't know was where everything was located. Some examples, and Marie, my mother-in-law, didn't know. Ted didn't, you know, share anything. He took care of it.
I was getting ready to ask, had the two of them talked about it, and apparently not.
No. And, you know, the problem was, it started off with trying to locate a will, locate bank accounts. We found a safe deposit box key, assuming it was at the bank where he did all his banking. It was not.
Oh,
it took 2 weeks and a lot of kind of investigative work to find that it was at a bank on the other side of town where he had absolutely no accounts.
Oh, my goodness.
And so Ted kept everything. He had an office in his home, which as you can imagine, was just stacked high with everything because he saved everything. And so I think in his world, he thought it was very organized and this would be easy for someone to go through. Unfortunately, he took the Da Vinci Code with him as to how to access this information.
Oh, Lordy.
And
can you know, I ask, was it a sudden death or was it a protracted illness or?
No, you know, he was 80 years old. And of course, you know, when you have people that reach that age, you know, anytime the phone rings, you know, you could think, oh, this is it. But no health issues, living at home, with my mother-in-law. And it was one of those things. It's just, boom.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, a very long story brief, it took us over 10 months to track everything down and close everything down. And it was like, wow, you know, if it takes that long to find everything and locate everything for an 88-year-old, who he was an IBM guy, so he knew something about computers, so he did a lot of stuff online. Well, as you know, trying to read his passwords and gain access was just one small equation. Then, you know, Chase Bank is an example. They don't recognize the computer you're trying to log in. We're going to ask you a challenge question.
Right.
Who was your best friend in junior high? it turned out to be Cliff.
Okay.
But as you can see, in the challenge is when someone dies, as we all know, there's some normal emotions that come along with it, grief and sadness. And those are natural, and they're okay. We don't want to do anything about those because those are part of the process.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
However, without being prepared or having a conversation or leaving some of the keys to all the information, you add on frustration, confusion, anger, not to mention an enormous amount of time involved, which is time away from work, time away from your own family, and all those things.
And also time away from grieving. I mean, who can, you know, wallow and process those feelings when you're freaking out about passwords?
Exactly. And I thought as we're going through this, because my in-laws live literally about a mile from us up the street. And I had the thought of my own parents who live across the country. What if something happened in that case where at least it's up the street?
Right.
And, you know, we can go sort through things.
Right.
You know, typical employer might live, you know, 3 to 5 days for bereavement, but that's not going to be enough time. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people can't afford to take all that extended time away from work to do things. Not to mention the fact that trying to track down things like bank accounts, safe deposit box and everything else, that's a 9-to-5 job. And so now you're forced to do that during work. And a typical employer is probably not going to be too thrilled about
right.
you spending all the time on that.
Right.
And so I had this kind of revelation that Michelle and I travel quite a bit. And if something, I'm sorry?
For business?
For business and a little pleasure,
okay.
Largely business. Okay. And if something were to happen to us,
right.
What would our kids do? They have no idea because our kids are just at that point where several are in college and a couple are just beyond college. They have no real world experience. They wouldn't know how to track down proof of ownership of a house, where the credit cards are, where the bills are. Mm-hmm. How do we shut things down? How do we turn off dad's Facebook account? So no one posts, hey, happy birthday, haven't heard from you for a while.
Right. Oh, that happens all the time.
And so as I tell a lot of people, you know, growing up in the 60s and 70s, I was from a small town in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And, you know, life was pretty simple then. You know, there was one bank in town where everyone banked. There was one post office. And all the bill showed up in this box that was out in front of the house called a mailbox.
Things have changed in the last 30 years, haven't they?
Right.
Right?
And so, you know, as I joke today, the only thing that shows up in the mailbox in front of my house are pizza flyers and birthday cards from my mother.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Everything is online. And if you don't have access to my technology to be able to see when bills come in, some things are on auto pay. Mm-hmm. It's going to take massive amounts of time for somebody to try and sort all that stuff out.
And if we all do what they recommend that we do, which is change your password frequently, well, that just adds to the confusion and the Da Vinci Code issue. Yeah.
Right. So while that today is still pretty easy to accomplish, like it was, you know, 40, 50 years ago, the fallout or the aftermath or taking care of things is far more complicated. And during the last 2 or 3 years in talking with people about their experiences, everybody has a story to share. The one that hit me the most was a gentleman named Nick. And when I talked to Nick, Nick just kind of shook his head and said, you know, I wish that I had known Mom wanted to be cremated before I buried
her. Oh.
And he didn't find out until about a year later that, you know, going through Mom's things, what she really wanted. And so now this gentleman lived knowing that he actually didn't fulfill his mother's wishes.
That's really, really sad. And you're speaking to one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, which was, why don't people plan for death? Why don't they talk about it? And there's probably lots of great reasons, but I'm just really interested in your thoughts on that.
Well, it's interesting. We did a survey just about a year ago, a national survey of just baby boomers across the country.
Of which I'm one.
Mm-hmm. And I, 75 million of us out there. And we asked the question. And, you know, the answers were crazy. You know, some were, oh, I've got time. My response to that is, really? When are you going to die? You know, this is not like paying your taxes. You know, I can wait until the 15th of April without consequence because that's a date certain. But we don't know when we're going to die. Mm-hmm. You know, this morning in the United States, over 7,000 people woke up and they expect to do the same tomorrow, but they won't. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we don't know who they are. You know, the other one was, well, I don't have a lot of stuff. My life's just not that complicated. Really? I mean, you do. If you have family, do you think your kids aren't going to fight over what they think is best if you haven't shared with them what you want? You know, and this is not just after dying, but even before dying. You know, things like advanced directives. If you don't have an advanced directive, I know with our kids, you know, a couple of them would be, the dad would want to end this. And a couple of them on the other side would be, there is absolutely no way.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, so maybe fall into a whole scenario like the whole Terry Schiavo scenario that drags these things out.
And just real quick for the listeners that maybe don't know that name, Terry was the one in Florida had a stroke at 29, had told her husband she didn't want to live on a machine. Her parents did not hear that. So she went up on a ventilator for 15 years and they fought, the husband and the parents fought in court, and finally the husband won and they took her off a ventilator. But to your point, I mean, nobody knows when you're going to die. Nobody knows when you're going to have a stroke at 29. And if you don't tell everybody, then you don't want to be in a 15-year court battle with your family members. I mean, what could be more horrible?
Right. Well, people often say, you know, death is the time which brings families together. Quite the contrary. Mm-hmm. Only if everything is clearly spelled out. That's Otherwise, it can be an extremely divisive time. I've talked with people who told me they have family members who haven't spoken in 10 years mm-hmm. following a death. The other one, there's two, and there were multiple answers to this question, why people don't talk about it, but there were two that really resonated with me. One was, well, I don't want to upset my children. Mm-hmm. And my only thought is, but you don't want to upset them now, but you're okay to have this, you know, effing firestorm that's going to occur after you're gone.
Yeah.
You know? And the other one is, well, it's bad luck.
Oh, Lordy.
It's bad luck. And it's like, we all talk about sex. That does not make us pregnant. Talking about death isn't going to make us dead. You know, we're all afraid. It's like, oh, I'm going to be the first one that happens to. Well, you know, as I do my own research, I've figured out that people have been around for about 300,000 years, and the odds say one out of one of us will die. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be exempt from that. And so it boils down to, what do you want the experience to be like for your family after you're gone? Right. You know, you do it out of love. We're all planners by nature. We love to plan. We plan to furnish our new home. We plan for our vacation. We plan for the birth of the child. This is a girl, this is a boy. We paint the room, get everything all set. And the one thing we never plan for is our own death.
Right.
And the only conclusion I can come to with that, the reason people don't plan for that is, beyond they think they have time, and dare I say it's a little selfish, because we plan all these other things in our lives because they benefit me. They're going to be fine. Planning for your death and being prepared, you're doing for somebody else. Mm. You do it out of love. And if people stop to think how complicated their lives really are, mm-hmm. you know, from their Netflix account to their Amazon Prime account, their Blue Apron account, you know, I read two newspapers every day, and they don't show up in my driveway. They show up on my iPad.
Right.
And those are going to continue to accumulate, and charges are going to continue to hit. That's money that my family is not going to get unless they know how to shut that off.
Right. It's a very selfless thing to do, to your point.
Right.
Plan for your death because everybody else benefits, and, you know, it's just, you're right. It's a total act of love. And it can be a beautiful time of life. I hope the listeners don't get tired of me saying this, but when I first joined hospice 12 years ago, a gentleman said, you know, when a baby's born, that's a beautiful time of life. End of life can be a beautiful time if these conversations have happened and everybody can make some wonderful memories together and enjoy the last months with their loved one and just make it a really special time. It can happen that way.
Right.
And take all the hand-wringing out of it. And did I do the right thing? And, Lord, I wish I'd known my mother wanted to be cremated. I mean, I'm sure he walks around every time she pops in his head. I'm sure he feels guilty about that. And that's so sad.
There's just some basic things that people need to know to make their lives so much easier. You know, it's, do you want to be buried or cremated? You know, do you want a religious ceremony or just a memorial service? The next thing, how are you going to pay for it? Is there life insurance? You know, over $1 billion of life insurance has gone unpaid because people don't know it's there. Right. Life insurance is only good if someone knows I have that policy. Right. Because the insurance companies are very interesting. They don't have people on their staff that scan the obituary columns every day looking for potential money to pay out. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, they do have people on their staff who are contacting people continuously to make sure they pay the premium.
Exactly.
Right? So people need to know. So the first things that happen is, when I die, what do I want? And it's going to cost something that I don't want to burden my family with. How should it be paid? And then, you know, the list goes on to simplify and make their lives easier.
And yeah, I think you're speaking to one of the questions I had for you, which was the benefits to the family. If you do the selfless thing and have these conversations, what are some of the benefits to the family?
You know, the biggest benefit is time. Mm. It's time. You know, do you want the family to be able to grieve and move on? Or do you want them to be bogged down with sorting out and finding every last detail of your life, which is going to take them literally. And you know, I've talked to people of all socioeconomic status out there. And this is a problem we all have. I don't care if, you know, you're a clerk at a convenience store and you rent a home. You still have stuff, and your family's going to have to try and figure it out. And, you know, I don't care if you're a multimillionaire, and I've talked to those people, say, well, you know, I've got a really good attorney, I have a trust and estate plan. And it's like, that's all great. They know the disposition of your assets, but I can pretty much guarantee that your estate planning attorney doesn't know where all your credit cards are, doesn't know how to access those accounts, doesn't know how to turn them off, doesn't know what your online presence is.
They may not know if you want to be buried or cremated.
Right. They just don't know.
What songs you want played, or if you, all that, you know.
And you know, and the conversation doesn't have to be doom and gloom, like, oh, it's such a Debbie Downer. No, it's not. It's like, you know, as I joke around, like, okay, you know, kids, look, we all know we're all going to die someday. You probably don't want to talk about it, but look, it's going to happen. I'm going to die someday. And when that day comes, this is what you need to know. You know, for my kids, you know, they're not going to understand all the complexities. And so in my case, I use, you know, technology that we've created where everything is in one place.
Well, tell us a little bit about that.
Okay.
All this is on your website, right?
Right. What I wanted to do was design a place where everything could be in one location, everything would be current, everything a person would ever need to know would be right there, which would take this 10 or 12 month ordeal and compress it down to a couple of weeks. And then I'm talking about anything possibly, you know, need to know. Where the bank accounts are, where the safe deposit box are, where are the keys, where is the widow, who is the attorney, active life insurance policies, who to contact for this, where the deed to the house is, all those kind of things, and the ability to upload and store those active documents right in that site. So that when I die, as is the title of the book, my latest book, which is, you know, Click Here When I Die, which the book really doesn't have anything to do about my company and my platform. I just thought it was a catchy title. So I'm not going to share all that information with my kids today. They wouldn't understand it all. But the conversation I have had with them, and they do understand, is, look, if I go on that permanent vacation, in the dresser drawer, top drawer under the socks on the right, there is an envelope.
It's not in a lockbox at a bank that you can access on Saturday.
It's right.
Easily accessible.
Get the envelope, open it. Everything you'll need to be need to know is right there. All the directions. I've already, pre-written some of my obituary.
Sure. That's great.
Why not? You know?
Yeah.
I want someone to say something nice about me, right? So it's like cue cards, really.
I hear you. Oh my gosh, that's funny. And so I'm curious, so your wishes are your wishes, and then Michelle, your beautiful wife, mm-hmm. I'm assuming they aren't necessarily exactly the same. Right. So are the kids aware of those differences, if there are some differences, which I would guess there are?
There are. And, obviously if something happens to me and Michelle is still here, she can access the information because we actually share an account because, we're kind of that. I don't know if we're unusual or normal, but, everything's getting, we have one checking account. We have, credit cards are in both names and those things. Her wishes are different ultimately. And so the kids know there's two ways to access this if something were to happen to, me or both of us at the same time. But everything that we need to know is there. And it's not doom and gloom. It's being prepared. We don't send our kids off to school, in an undershirt and shorts and tennis shoes if it's supposed to snow this afternoon.
Right.
Okay? We've planned a little bit. Well, Mom, I don't want to take those boots in my backpack. Well, you have to because of the snow.
Right. Now, I want to be respectful of your time. We've probably got about 7 more minutes. The website information on the website and the information in your book, I want you to make sure everybody's very clear about that. And then I also, the listeners will be tickled to know that you are actually offering them a free gift. So you'll tell them a little bit about that.
Yes, it's actually a report that we put together, or an ebook. It's called 10 Things You Need to Know. And if the audience does nothing else, I'm not here to promote my company or my platform. What I am here to do is to get people thinking about the things that they do for the sake of their own family. And so in our report, 10 Things You Need to Know, really go through the 10 key steps that people need to go through and kind of breaks down all the items under those things to think about. So whether you jot them all down on a legal pad and put them in an envelope, put them in your dresser drawer. Step one, get it organized. Step two, tell somebody.
Right.
Tell somebody. That's it. So, and I'm not sure how you want to do it, but we'll have a special link set up.
We'll provide that when we air the interview. Add that link for the gift.
Right. And it'll just be mylifeandwishes.com/summit.
Okay.
And your audience can go there, download a copy of the book. It's their first step.
That's all you got to do is just take that first step. And then the rest of them won't be quite so hard. It gets easier the more you do it.
And it is. And people have a lot of stuff. I'm not telling people that, this is a sprint. It's not. It's a marathon. List this information out this week. List this information out next week and work. And provide as much detail as you can. But if nothing else, in my father-in-law's case, if we had known this is where he banked, these are the type of the accounts, here's a safe deposit box key, here's where it's located, here's the active life insurance that I have, any other policies that you find in all of my boxes are no good. I just saved the paper. It's going to save time, and it's going to save, stress and anger, and it's going to keep the family together and not divide them.
And that's a wonderful, wonderful gift. Thank you for doing that. But before you go, I really do want you to speak a little bit more about your book and about your platform, because I would love them to know so they can reach out to you and learn more.
Yes. My book is called Click Here When I Die, Making Things Easier for Those You Love. And it's really about our experience, chock full of stories from people I've spoken with around the country.
That's the book that's the Amazon bestseller, correct?
Correct.
Okay, wonderful.
Correct. So the audience can go to, you know, Amazon. They can get it Kindle version. They can, you know, order a nice paperback. It's very thought-provoking. Everyone that I've spoken to who has read the book, I've been contacted across the country where they've read the book and it's caused them to act. And my mission when this happened to us was I want to help a million families avoid the effing mess that we had to go through. And it's totally avoidable.
That's fabulous.
Our company, MyLifeAndWishes.com, is a platform online where you can record and store and keep updated all of the information that your family will need to know when you pass.
So you set up an account, and as you change things, you just go in and update the information. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And we keep ours completely up to date. You can upload copies of the documents so that at any point, if something were to happen to you, literally, family member can log in. And there's different ways that you can do that. You can, if you're a little older and maybe you have a son or daughter who's your power of attorney, you can give them immediate access so that they can keep it up to date for you and share things. We do the security on this. It took us over a year and a half to ever launch this because security was our number one priority on this. Anyone that wants to know more about our security, we can provide all of that information.
Great.
But the beauty of the platform is you can put as much or as little information as you want in there. So anyone that's still a little scared of technology, you know, I can tell you that I bank at Park Bank, where I have a checking, a savings, a CD, and a money market. I can tell you where my safe deposit box is, and I have active life insurance with Prudential, Boston Mutual, and Principal Financial Group. That does you, the average person, no good,
right?
But it saves my family massive amounts of time.
Sure, exactly.
And another one, just the bonus, is don't forget about pets.
Right, right.
You know, so many people have, you know, might be a little older, live alone. What do you want to happen with your pets? I mean, they're your family. They're your children.
Speaking of pre-planning, I mean, it's not just about who's going to take care of your pet after you've died. It's when you're too not physically able to walk them or take them to the vet. I mean, go ahead and figure out now who's going to share in that responsibility so you can still enjoy the warmth of your pet laying next to you. And you know that Betty Sue down the street has promised that she'll take it to the vet for you. You know, figure all that out. That's a fabulous point.
Exactly. So there's just so many little things there. So I encourage people to check out our website. Also, the book is a quick read. It's about 2 hours. But there's a lot of information that I think they will really appreciate. And I've actually taken kind of this death topic, and there's a lot of humor in the book. So
awesome. Awesome. That's wonderful. And one of the questions was, you know, why don't people talk about it? I think there's nothing sadder in our life than when we lose somebody. But if you're talking about it well in advance, then you can, you know, there's nothing wrong with me. We're talking about this long before crisis. So yeah, let's have fun with this topic. And yeah, that's really awesome. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
So John Braddock, with www.mylifeandwishes.com, who wrote the book Click Here When I Die. Thank you so much for your time. It was truly an honor having you here. Thank you for the free gift that you're going to give the audience. That's fabulous. And it's just been a pleasure. It really has. Thank you so much for, I hope you reach and exceed your million families that you want to touch and help, because that's a fabulous goal. I'm all for it.
Thank you so much. And my parting words are, be thoughtfully prepared.
Right. Exactly. Thank you, John, so much. Thank you.